chapter 4. Now, I have in the bulletin, again, our little outline for this little, for this message that I've been doing about our mission and the thoughts of our mission for our church. What we want to accomplish as a church. Why is it that our church exists? And I've got that again mentioned in our bulletin. So you can actually follow, I guess, this outline if you have a copy of the bulletin there with you tonight. We've already gotten to the first four, and we're going to finish with the last one tonight. And so this will bring this little subject of our mission and how our mission matters, or why is it that our church exists, the purpose for our church. We don't want to just meet here for services. There's a purpose of why we're doing what we're doing. Amen. And so that's what we've established kind of as this outline, and this will be the next part of that. It'll be the last part of that because we'll get to the fifth one tonight. But real quickly, just looking at that, it says Victory Baptist Church exists to, and the first one was this, to exalt the one true and living God. And we talked about that several Sunday nights ago when we started this on our mission, and we talked about how that God deserves our glory, and he deserves our honor, and he deserves our praise, and it pleases him when we gather together for the purpose of worshiping him and exalting him. We want to bring all glory to the Lord. It's kind of like what we read this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10. If you were here this morning, where Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And then he went on to talk about how that he has accomplished some things in the ministry, but it was all to God's glory. It wasn't anything that he had done. It was all glory to God. So let's make sure that we're always pushing that glory to God. He is the one that deserves our glory and deserves our praise. And then we said number two, and that's in the outline as well. Number two, to evangelize the world with the gospel. Number two, to evangelize the world with the gospel. And there's some key words in there. The world, we want to reach the entire world. And then with the gospel. That's what we talked about this morning. Now, I realize that not everyone was here for the morning service, at least here in the auditorium. But we talked about how the gospel is the good news, isn't it? That Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again. We have the good news clubs. Now I know they're not in session right now because of schools, the closing of schools, and we had to shut those down in March, just like everything else got shut down. We have been able to start those back up again, certainly asking the Lord for his direction with that, and hopefully that we can get those started again. But we have a little song there that we sing in the good news club. It says, good news to all the world. Good news to all who hear. Good news to everyone. Let's tell the message loud and clear, it says. And then it talks about the thought of how Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again. Just the message of the gospel. And I love that we call them the good news clubs, because that's what we're sharing inside those public schools, aren't we? The good news of the gospel. We want to evangelize the world with the gospel. And so automatically the question then would be, well, if we live here in Boonesboro, our church is here in Boonesboro, how can we evangelize the entire world? Well, we evangelize the world through worldwide missions, don't we? Amen. And again, then we talked about the steps of what we can do with that. We can give to missions. We can pray for missionaries. We can encourage missionaries. We can be willing to be a missionary if God sends us and he calls us somewhere. And then personal outreach. Not just personal outreach here in church, but personal outreach outside of this building with contacts, folks that you come in contact with, and just inviting the church and getting out the message of the gospel. So we want to, number two, evangelize the world with the gospel. And then number three, and this is in our outline, these are ones we've already covered now, but we want to endear people, number three, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that includes introducing them to him. We want them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but then we want to help them to fall in love with him and allow their love to grow in the Lord. Now, why would we want to introduce people to Jesus? Why would we want them to fall in love with him? Well, there's many different reasons we could give. Certainly because he first loved us, we want to fall in love with Jesus. But he's the one that established the church, right? So the purpose of the church ought to be to endear people to Jesus, because he's the one that established the church. He's the one that purchased it with his blood. And then he's the one that equips the local church with his Holy Spirit that helps us, and the power that he's given to us. And then we said this about endearing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that ought to have preeminence in the church as well. He ought to be the one that has first place. And then we get to number four. Again, just reminding us of what we've talked about. Number four, to educate people in the infallible Word of God. Now, we used another word in there as well. It wasn't just the word educate, but we also used the word equip. When we are educating, we are equipping people to go out and give the word of God to somebody else. So we were talking about educating, this was last Sunday night, educating people in the word of God and equipping them. And we talked about how the word of God is inspired and it's the final authority and there are no errors and contradictions. It's accurate. It's preserved. And we've got to hold it high and herald the word of God and make sure we're giving out the message of the word of God to others. And how do we do that? Well, we do it through our Bible classes that we have here. Think about how we met this morning for our Bible classes that we have. We meet for Bible classes that we have and opportunities to discipleship folks to help them to grow in their faith. And so what are we doing then? Well, we're educating individuals in the word of God so that they can then take the word of God. We've equipped them as we've educated them so they can take the word of God and pass it on to someone else. Now, why is it important to do this? Because Satan wants to hinder the teaching of God's word, doesn't he? And he wants to, if you think about how that we talked about this last Sunday, how he is the author of all false man-made religions and all false churches today. We want to make ours be one of the ones that educates individuals in the infallible word of God. But we get to the last one, and this is going to be in Ephesians chapter number 4 here tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, and here's the last purpose of our church, or at least in this outline that we've given to you, as far as the mission of our church or the purpose, or why is it that Victory Baptist Church exists? The word edify. We want to edify people, and if you'll look at the bulletin there, it says edify people through a loving church family. There's a lot to say about just that little statement, isn't there? Amen. We want to edify people, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But we want to do that through a loving church family. We have opportunity to meet together here, and it's not just about meeting together for services. It's about the fact that we have a loving church family that we get to meet with. We've said this, and it's so true. For many of you, perhaps the church family is maybe, I would say, I certainly love individuals in the church family more than you do your own family, but maybe even the closeness of your church family, maybe even more than your immediate family that you have. And so you think about the love that we ought to have as a church family, and that's why we ought to get along. You know, there ought not be divisions. We want to make sure that we're edifying individuals when they come here through this loving church family that we have. But we want to use one more word along with that. So we use the word educate, and then we also use the word equip. We're educating people, meaning we're equipping them to do God's work. But then with this word edify, we want to use another word that I think will go so well with it, also the word encourage. To edify or encourage people through a loving church family. Notice what the Bible says when it refers to this word edify in the church. This is found in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 11. It says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So there's a list of spiritual authorities that are mentioned here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11. And of course, we understand the thought in the day we live today of evangelists that would be able to go around and edify a loving church family, and a pastor that would be able to do that, and teachers that would be able to do that. Now, why did he give these particular positions? Look at what the Bible says in verse number 12. For, a couple things here, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So a couple different things as a purpose here of these pastors and these teachers and the evangelists that God has given. And look, number one, it says in verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Now that word perfecting has the idea of maturing. We want the saints to mature. We want to mature in our faith. We want to mature spiritually. We don't want to just be growing physically. We want to make sure we're growing spiritually. No. And just like if we would think of a baby when it's growing, if it would always stay the same size as years went on, that would be odd, wouldn't it? But think about if we would stay the same spiritually year after year after year. We want to mature, don't we? We want to grow to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what is one of the purposes for the perfecting of the saints? And then he says, for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. Now, we're going to look at the work of the ministry actually in two different ways. We're going to pause right here and look at one. And then we're going to look at one after we read the verse in its entirety. Okay? And then hopefully it'll all make sense to you. So we got the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints, and for the work of the ministry. Think about all that goes on in the work of the ministry. Think about all that goes on to make sure the ministry, the work of the ministry gets done. It's a great task, isn't it? To make sure the work of the ministry gets done, whether it be the preaching ministry, or whether it be the evangelism part of it, as far as soul winning, and just to get the work of the ministry done, the Bible teaching and preaching that takes place. So there's a lot when it comes to the work of the ministry. But then notice it says, at the end, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we've seen that we ought to see the saints mature, and we know the work of the ministry needs to get done. But then it uses that word that we are finishing this little thought about the purpose of our church. It uses that word for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now that word edifying has the idea of building up. We want to build up Christians. We want to build up the lives of individuals who are a part of our church. So we want to edify people through a loving church family. Now remember how we talked about how that if we're going to be a loving church family, though, we've got to make sure we're getting along with one another. We're loving one another. There's no strife, no turmoil, no division between us. And I love even in verse 13 how he uses a word that really talks about that. Look at what he says in verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity. In the unity. Think about how in our church we need unity, don't we? We need to be united in our work for the Lord. What we do affects, now listen, this is important for us to remember. What we do affects other Christians. What you do in the church affects the other Christians that are around you. So we have to make sure we're in unity. And by the way, what we do also affects our God, doesn't it? So it affects those around us. It affects the God that we serve and our relation or our fellowship with Him. And so we want to be in unity. And so what is he saying here? He's saying, number one, for the maturing or the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I told you I would come back to the middle of that verse. And really, we can take the middle section of that verse for the work of the ministry, and we can see the work of the ministry in the section that, or the little part of the verse above it, and the part of the verse below it. What is the work of the ministry? Well, to mature saints. What is the work of the ministry? To edify the body of Christ. And so we can really narrow the work of the ministry if we would take that verse to the parts that are above it and to the parts that are below it. That's the work of the ministry. We want to see saints matured. We want to see people edified through our church. So how does this happen? How does this happen? How is it that we're able to edify people through a loving church family? Well, we could start right here in this passage that we are talking about and start right with the spiritual authorities that God gives us. God has given us some spiritual authorities that he is using for the purpose of edifying the saints and maturing or perfecting the believers. Those spiritual authorities that he gives us provide spiritual oversight. They provide spiritual leadership. God has put them in the place that he has put them for the purpose of encouraging spiritual growth and fruitfulness. How are we to respond to the spiritual leadership that God has put in our lives. Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. You might already know where I'm going with this if I've asked that question already and told you to turn to Hebrews 13, but notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 13 of how we are to respond to the spiritual leadership or the authorities that God has put in our lives when their purpose is to perfect the saints, to do the work of the ministry, and to edify the body of Christ. How are we to respond? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Now listen to this. The middle part of this verse is so important. It says, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Excuse me. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So to have a respect for those that are in authority, that are in spiritual authority, and to submit yourselves to them. They're watching for your soul. And they've got to give an account, just like a parent would give an account for the spiritual authority and leadership they had over their children, right? The way that we raised them, the way that we led them in the paths that God would have them to go. Well, the same thing with spiritual authority. They have there's a time in which we're going to have to give an account. It would be that spiritual authority would desire to do that with joy, wouldn't it? They'd want to do it with joy. And so that's our response to the spiritual authority. So how is it that in our church now as a whole, how are we going to edify people through a loving church family? I want to take you to a couple passages to try to encourage you how this would take place in a church. And I want this to be what takes place here at Victory Baptist Church. Look at Acts chapter 2. And we're thinking about, in Acts chapter 2, we're thinking about the early church, aren't we? Establishing the early church and God's work getting done right away in the early church here. And it says in verse number, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. And we know what has happened here. The day of Pentecost takes place and obviously, those souls that were saved. Look at what happens in verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Man, can you imagine a day like that? I mean, imagine 3,000 people coming to know Christ as their Savior and following the Lord in baptism. Man, that would be exciting for a church, wouldn't it? But you know, we get excited over one soul, though, don't we? Yeah. But you think about 3,000 souls saved and baptized and joining the church. But then look at verse number 42. Look at the things that they began to establish here in this early church. And these are the things that will help our church when it comes to edifying people through our local church as far as when it comes to our loving church family. Look at what it says in verse 42. And I'm going to try to give you a couple of these as we read through here. Verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We'll stop right there. How do we edify people in a loving church family or through a loving church family? We're hearing God's word, aren't we? God's word is being taught. That's how you're edified. That's how you're encouraged. When you come and you hear God's word with folks around you that are a part of the church family. So we're hearing God's word as it's being taught. Again, notice they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. But then notice number two, if you would. It says at the very end of the verse, and in prayers, One of the ways that we're able to edify other believers is through opportunities that we have to pray. Wouldn't you say it's encouraging when you have a member of your loving church family come up to you and tell you that they're praying for you? Isn't it encouraging when we gather together for our time of prayer together as a church family as well? I think about the opportunities God gives us on Wednesday night to have our prayer meeting that we have. We hear God's word and then we have some time that we can spend praying. And there's been times before we broke off into little groups and been able to pray. We're not going a whole lot of that right now, obviously, because of the situation that we're in. And so I've been leading us for quite a while in our prayer time, but isn't it encouraging to come together as a church family and be able to spend some time praying? That encourages in a church, it doesn't. That's encouraging. And so our prayer time as well, as he says at the end. And then how about our men? How about our men's prayer time? And the opportunity that the men of our church have to come together and be a part of that time when we can pray together as men of the church, as the leaders of our homes, as the spiritual leaders within this church, then what an opportunity we have to get together and spend some time praying. And men, I'd encourage you to be a part of that. I know we mention it often as it's coming up. We announce it quite a bit. But I encourage you to be a part of that prayer time that we have. Spending time praying, that encourages one another when we spend time like that. But again, back to our own personal prayer times. Oh, it's encouraging when somebody comes up and says, why don't you know I'm praying for you? Man, that's a blessing we have as a church family. We can pray for one another, lift the needs of each other up to the Lord. And at times when you've needed prayer, somebody's come along beside you and said, I'm praying for you. And when someone else has a need, you say, I'm going to spend some time praying for you. We pray for one another, don't we? And that's one of the ways that through a loving church family, we edify one another. But then notice what else he says in this verse. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and I love this one, fellowship. You know how we edify one another? You know how we encourage one another in a church? We have opportunity to fellowship with one another. Man, some sweet times that we have because the church provides that place for fellowship, doesn't it? When we're here and we get to talk to one another and we get to have opportunity to fellowship with one another. But you know another wonderful aspect of fellowship that we have to make sure we understand and we make sure we know it's true about fellowship is fellowship is also a way as members of God's family, as a church family now, to keep each other accountable as well. When you think about how your fellowship with one another, we can stay accountable to God's people. And so that sweet time of fellowship that we have. Look back with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter number 10, and we'll read verse number 24, Hebrews chapter 10, and look at verse 24, and I know this is, again, another verse that would be very familiar to you, I'm sure, but it says in verse number 24, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. One of the things that we're able to do as a church family is we can encourage one another, push one another towards good works, can't we? We can encourage each other. Then notice what it says here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Another great reason to be found in God's house. To not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because this is the place where we can exhort one another. We can encourage one another in that sweet time of fellowship that we have. The opportunity that we have to strengthen other believers through meeting together, encouraging one another just by being here, and the time of fellowship that we can have. So that's a way to edify, a way to encourage. But then, right back to Acts chapter 2. The last thought that we want to give here in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, one more thing that's mentioned here that can take place in the local church that can edify. Look at what he says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the Bible reading, we mentioned that, prayer, fellowship, but then notice what he says, and in breaking of bread. You know, another way that the church edifies individuals in our loving church family, we edify each other, is when we have times where we can observe the ordinances. Isn't God's house a wonderful opportunity to come and observe the ordinances in the Lord's house? And you think about the rejoicing that takes place when somebody follows the Lord in baptism. Man, that's encouraging. You know, we talk often about how we want to keep the baptistry, you know, the water in the baptistry, right? Because we want to see souls saved, and we want to see folks following the Lord in baptism. That encourages us, doesn't it? We see individuals following the Lord in baptism. But then how about when we come together for the Lord's Supper as well, the Lord's table communion, however we want to word it. Bible words it different ways. But when we come together for the Lord's Supper, what are we doing when we do that? We're remembering the body that was broken for us. We're remembering the blood that was shed on the cross for us. And that's encouraging, isn't it? That's a way to edify believers as we meet together here and we observe the ordinances. But you know, there's another way we edify one another. We can keep the work of the Lord going and be able to build up one another and encourage one another. Turn back to Malachi in the Old Testament, if you would. Another way that we can worship the Lord and we can edify one another is the opportunity that God gives us to give to the work of the ministry as well. To give of our tithes and our offerings. You say, would that seriously be a way we would edify or build up the church? Certainly, because God's work continues on through the giving of his people, doesn't it? We're able to edify one another just by our giving. Notice what it says in Malachi chapter 3. I know these verses are familiar to you. It says, well, a man robbed God, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, he says. Now listen, we said this morning. We sang this song. We can stand on the promises of God. To me, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10 sounds like a promise from God, doesn't it? He says, you bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and he says, you put me to the test. And he says, you see if I will have the ability to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't even be able to, you won't even be something you'll be able to even have enough room to receive it, he says. The great promise that God gives, that's a way to edify. Along these same lines, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Having to turn to a few more verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And look at verse number 1 and verse number 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Another way to edify the church is to bring our tithes and bring our offerings. Another opportunity we have to continue to see the work of the Lord going and believers encouraged through this work. While you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're finishing off now, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let me give you one more thought about encouraging or edifying believers and the work of the church here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, of course, it's talking about some spiritual gifts that God has given to us. And then it narrows it down, or kind of begins to give some illustrations, and it narrows it down to this verse that I want to read to you here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. But what is he saying? He's saying that I've given talents and abilities within the church, and every one of them are so vital. Every one of them are so important. Each one of us need to take the gift and the ability and the talent that God has given to us and use it for his glory. And when we put all of that together, the work of the Lord gets done, doesn't it? Believers are able to be encouraged and edified. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. What is the way in which we can edify believers? We can serve God in this place with the God-given abilities he has blessed us with. That's a way to edify. That's a way to encourage. Isn't it encouraging for you Isn't it edifying to you when you see individuals serving their Lord? And what a blessing it is. It's a blessing when we get to do it ourselves, but then as we get to be encouraged when we watch others serving the Lord. So let's make sure we serve God with the abilities that He has entrusted us with. Let's find a place where we can serve the Lord. That edifies, doesn't it? But then, I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. It will be the last verse we look at tonight. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll bring this to a close. I want us to talk about one other area in which we ought to edify through a loving church family. Now, this one is so vital. This one is so important. Here's another way in which the church edifies. We really have to get this because we don't want to be the type of church that would not follow this principle. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, but I'm going to say this. One of the ways that we can edify through a loving church family is in the restoring of individuals who have perhaps fallen into sin. Restore individuals that have fallen into sin. Now we want to restore them to something though, don't we? We want to restore them to right living and to service to Christ. Look at what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." Remember, meekness is what we're talking about on Wednesday night, isn't it? Meekness is another way of us describing humility. "Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, here's what I want us to understand about edifying through a loving church family when it comes to restoring individuals who maybe have been taken in a fall or have fallen in a sin. Church is a place where we receive grace, but it's also a place where we need to extend grace as well. So church is the place where we receive it. Then we come to church, we hear the message of God's grace, and we receive grace. But we want to make sure as a church family, we also extend grace. Now, when is it that we would extend grace? Well, when someone has fallen in sin, but they have a desire to be restored to fellowship with God and their church. You know, perhaps there's something that has taken over control in their life that's sinful, or as the Bible describes here, taken in a fall, it says. But yet they have a desire after they've done that which is not pleasing to the Lord, they have a desire to be restored and that have fellowship with God and with their church family again. That's the time where we would extend grace to individuals. Now, God, we don't have time for this, but God has a plan in Matthew chapter number 18 where he talks about discipline. Discipline within the church. It is possible when discipline is taking place in a church where the person who is being disciplined will hear. And they'll listen. And they'll ask for forgiveness. And they'll desire to be restored. Aren't you glad that God is a God that allows second chances? Amen. Aren't you glad that God is a God who does extend grace? And when we do want to be forgiven, we're seeking that restoration, and we're seeking restored fellowship with God and His church, that He is able to give someone a second chance. And so we want to be that kind of a church that edifies by restoring individuals. Maybe perhaps they've gone away from the Lord, but they desire to come back. They desire to make things right. No, another way we can edify individuals, and we've already mentioned this in past messages here on Sunday night, but to disciple new believers as well. Now that kind of goes back to the thought we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I guess maybe last week, we were talking about educating people, but that's edifying people as well, discipling them, helping them to grow in the Lord. So we talked about the purpose of our church, but as far as a member of our church, as far as a part of our church, you know, we want to fulfill these purposes, but what can we do as a church member? Well, we can be faithful, can't we? And we can be accountable. We need to be involved, don't we? We need to be involved. That's where we talk about service. So we need to be faithful. It should be that we can be counted on to be in the services, be faithful to in our attendance. So I'm trying to encourage you with this revival. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be here. And you don't want to, you don't want to miss, if you're able to be here, you don't want to miss a service because that might be the night. God will really be able to do a work in your heart. And so be faithful and then be accountable. Isn't it great that we can be accountable to one another as God's people? And then be involved. Find a place where you can be involved. So the purpose of our church, again, we have it laid out there in the bulletin again, but that fivefold purpose, to exalt and to evangelize and to endear and to educate. We also use the word equip and then edify, or we use the word encourage as well. And so let's be a church that follows that purpose. And maybe tonight you'd like to just ask the Lord when we move into our invitation here to allow you to be a part of this church, or as you're a part of this church, that you would fulfill the purpose, why we're here, why we're doing what we're doing for Christ. And you would ask God to help you to be a part in fulfilling that purpose. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes tonight? And we'll have Miss Dawn here.